You please turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the second letter of Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians, chapter 5, reading from verse 18 to verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 18 to 20, the words of the Apostle Paul. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And our subject this morning is the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. This is the Christian message. The ministry of reconciliation. The Apostle Paul is writing here, and of course this is after the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul has been wonderfully converted, has been appointed as the Apostle principally to the Gentiles, to bring the Christian message to those who are not of the Jewish nation. That is the special mission of the Apostle Paul. And we read here in verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. Just like a president would have an ambassador, he would send ambassadors to other countries. Well, Christ is in heaven. Christ died, was resurrected, and ascended up on high. He is now at the right hand of God. But he has ambassadors that he has sent out into this world. The apostles and all Christian people bearing this message. We are ambassadors for Christ. And we bring his message as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We pray you in Christ's stead. It's as though the Apostle Paul is saying, if the Lord Jesus Christ was here in this very room, preaching to you now, if he was here, he would say these words, be ye reconciled to God. He's not here, of course. We are here instead of him, in his stead. But we preach that message that he desires us to preach, be ye reconciled to God. And what a tremendous theme that is, the ministry of reconciliation, the message of the early church of the apostles, and our theme this morning. Well, I trust we know what reconciliation means. What does reconciliation mean? It's quite a long word, isn't it? But it is still quite a common word. Many people use this word, reconciliation. If you were to look it up in the dictionary, well, one definition I found was a reuniting. Reconciliation is a reuniting. It's a bringing together of two parties or two groups or two people who were once separate. They were separate. But now they have been reconciled, reunited, brought together again. Another dictionary definition that I read was the restoration of friendly relations. Reconciliation. It's the restoration of friendly relations. Once there were two parties who were enemies, who were hostile to one another. They didn't like one another, but now they have been reconciled. They've been restored. Two parties, the restoration of friendly relations. And I'm sure we can all relate to this. I'm sure there have been times in our lives, in our history, we've had fallings out with people, even those close to us, family, close friends. We were friends, but then something happened. There was some disagreement. There was some argument. There was some crisis. Then you stopped speaking to them. I'm not speaking to that person anymore. I'm not going to ring them. I'm not going to contact them. I'm going to have nothing to do with them. And it lasts for months, even years. Some people in families, they go for years without speaking to one another. But then one day you think, let me contact that person. I feel sorry about the disagreement. I feel sorry about this argument. I'm going to contact that person. I'm going to speak lovingly and warmly to that person. I'm going to speak peaceably to that person. And you ring them up, and they speak peaceably to you. And then you meet up with them, and you're friends again. You see, a reconciliation has taken place. There was a time when you were enemies, when you were angry with one another, but now everything has been forgiven and forgotten. There is a reconciliation that has taken place here. So if anybody was a bit vague on that meaning, hopefully that would have helped you understand this very important word, the word, the ministry of reconciliation. But this ministry, this message, how the Bible speaks of reconciliation, it's not about reconciliation between special friends or family members. This is the reconciliation between God and man. God and man. God and man need to be reconciled. Or rather, man needs to be reconciled to God. I trust we all understand, because this is the plain and clear teaching of the Bible, that man in his natural state, when he is born into this world, is born separate from God, in a separate state from God. Nobody is ever born a Christian. Nobody is ever born right with God. That's not the teaching of the Bible. By nature, by virtue of our birth, we are separate from God. And therefore, anybody who is born needs to be reconciled to God. That is a very simple thing to understand. We are all born separate from God, and therefore we all need to be reconciled to God. Sadly, many people nowadays, when you try to explain these things to them, you try to explain, well, we are all born separate from God. We need to be reconciled to God. Many people say, why? Why do I need to be reconciled to God? You try and speak to someone outside the church, on the streets, knock on a few doors. Say to them, you need to be reconciled to God. They'll say to you, why? Why do I need to be reconciled to God? What is that great need that I have? Well, there are many things we could mention. But the first thing is the great thing that we need to understand. God is our Father. He is our Creator. We came from Him. It is not a good thing that we are separated from our Father, from our Creator. It's the most tragic thing about humanity, that the human race is cut off from God, the God who created the human race. Why, it's like a child who's separated from his parents. Would that be a good thing? A child lost. Maybe sometimes, well, I'm sure many of you can empathize with this. You go on a shopping trip with your children. More often than not, they'll disappear. They'll wander off. They'll be lost. Is that a good thing, that your child is lost? Off in the world, lost, confused, scared. It's not a good thing. The child needs to be with the parent. The human race needs to be with God. Otherwise, it's lost. It's confused. Well, you just look at this world around us now. This world that has rejected God. We don't see any need of being reconciled with God. And what is the state of this world? It's almost entirely lost. Morally lost, confused, spiritually lost, politically lost, socially lost, doesn't really know what it's doing at all. Why? Because we're separated from our God. We've wandered far from God and willfully. And this is a terrible thing. No wonder this world is so confused. No wonder this world is so fearful. It's separated from God. But we can speak also about individuals. Individuals, us as individual people. How much we need God. Without God, well, we are just wandering in this world. We don't have any clear guidance at all. When you are lost without God, as many people are in this world, they don't really know where they're heading or what they're doing. They make very grand plans for themselves. They try to plan their life. They think they're doing the right thing, but they don't know for sure. They're just wandering their way through life. They go from one thing, or maybe this will make me happy. And then they don't find any enjoyment in that. They go to another thing. Maybe this will make me happy. But then again, it falls short. They're wandering from one thing to another, completely lost and not finding any joy or satisfaction at all. And some people, well, I've noticed some people, and particularly when I was unsaved, some people, they have this great sense of emptiness in themselves. They don't know why. Maybe you know people like this, unbelievers. They have everything that they could possibly want. A great career, a great house, they're married, they have children. And yet within themselves, they have a great sense of emptiness. I was like that myself, I remember. Before I was saved, I remember, in fact, I don't want to go on too long, but I remember there was one birthday of mine in my late 20s, and I was... Well, I was just so unhappy. And my friends were saying, why are you so unhappy? It's your birthday. You're meant to be enjoying yourself. And I said, well, I just feel so empty. And they tried to explain, oh, why you feel empty? You've got a good job. You've got a good career. You've got all these friends. It's your birthday. But, well, I didn't understand why I was feeling so empty. But then when I began reading the Bible... Then when I began thinking about life and the meaning of life, I understood. What was the cause of my emptiness? I was separate from God. I was lost. I was wandering in this world. That's the reason. This is why we have to tell people the gospel. So many people lost and empty and depressed, they don't know why. This is the reason why. They're separate from their God. There'll always be that emptiness. No matter how much we have, if we are separate from our God. And one thing we must make mention of, there is an eternal consequence if we are separate from God. If you live the whole of your life separate from God, then you will spend all of eternity separate from God. That is a very clear and simple teaching. You want to spend all of your life away from God? Well, then you'll spend all of eternity away from God. And again, some people in their foolishness say, oh, well, that sounds great. I've known some people, they're atheists, of course they are. They say, oh, I don't mind that. I don't mind thinking of an eternity without God. Oh, it'll be wonderful. I can just do whatever I want in eternity. I can have a good laugh with my mates and everything. I would love that, an eternity without God. Oh, do we understand what an eternity without God actually means? It means an eternity without anything good. There is no friendship in an eternity without God. In an eternity in hell, there's no friendship. There's no laughter. There's no joy. There's no peace. Anything good that we know in this world comes from God. And there is no God there in hell. So you're not going to know anything good in an eternity without God. So these things are very important. If we live the whole of our lives separate from God, we will spend eternity separate from God. And that is a terrible thing. But there is something specific that separates us from a holy God. What is it that actually separates us from God? Well, it's sin. Sin is that which separates us from God. Now, we often talk about sin being the things that we do, the breaking of God's laws, our lying and our stealing, and our covetousness, and our lusting and selfishness, the things that we do. Yes, that's sin. But also, and we must remember this from time to time, because this is equally important, sin is also our state. It's not just the things that we do, it's our state. The state of being separate from God. That is what sin is. So you could be an unbeliever, and you could be a very moral person. There are unbelievers who are moral people, who live upright lives, yes. Sometimes you meet unbelievers who are more moral and who are better than most Christians. They seem to live a cleaner life than most Christians. But you see, in the eyes of God, it means nothing at all. Yes, they may well be moral, but the fact is they are separate from God. Their morality means nothing at all if you are separate from God. That is something we must accept and understand. The ministry of the early church of the Apostle Paul was not a ministry of morality. You must be moral. It was a ministry of reconciliation. In other words, Paul was not going round to everyone saying, be a good boy or be a good girl. That's not what he was saying. He was saying, be ye reconciled to God. Not just be a good person, be ye reconciled to God. You are separate from God. That is a tragic thing. And you stand to be eternally cut off from God if you do not reconcile yourself. That is what Paul was saying. Not just be good, have a clean life. No, be ye reconciled to God. Don't be separate. And this is so very important, because many people think otherwise. And well, how can we be reconciled then? There is only one way of reconciliation, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at some of the words of these verses, and I know I've neglected them so far, but verse 19, let's think about the Lord Jesus Christ. To wit, to know, that means that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. What a profound thought that is. God was in Christ. We can't even fully imagine what that means. We can't grasp it. How the everlasting God was in Christ. All we can conclude firmly is that this is Paul affirming the divinity of Christ. Christ was, he is God. God was in Christ, the God-man. We read in our scripture reading earlier how the Lord Jesus Christ said, I and my Father are one. God was in Christ. In the Old Testament, when the Lord Jesus Christ is prophesied of his coming, he is called Emmanuel, God with us. God was in Christ. We remembered a few weeks ago how the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, he forgave sins. And everybody was saying, who can forgive sins but God alone? Ah, but you see, God was in Christ. That's how he can forgive sins. God was in Christ. Anybody who doesn't believe that Christ was divine, how do they explain these things? How do they interpret the plain teaching of the Word of God? God was in Christ, but this is the important thing, reconciling the world unto himself. How was reconciliation made? Well, let's remember this. God is on one side, man is on the other side, and sin is in between, if you like. This is what keeps God and man apart. Sin is in between them. So in order for God and man to be reconciled, that sin needs to be removed. It needs to be taken out of the way and placed on somebody else. And that is why Christ came. That is why he went to the cross in a body, so that those sins that separate man from God would be removed out of the way, and he would take them upon himself. He would suffer and die, so that there may be nothing now to prevent man approaching God. All sins have been removed. Anybody who trusts in Christ and on his death at Calvary knows there is no obstacle now between me and God. My sin was taken out of the way and placed on Christ. He died for my sin. He suffered that punishment. Oh, how I love him, and how much I know that he loved me. Our sin has been removed out of the way. Christ has taken it upon himself. Well, do we believe this, dear friends? We must believe it. Do you believe that you need to be reconciled to God? You must, as soon as possible, before it is too late. Well, by way of illustration, and as I draw to conclusion, I know many of you have heard this from me, but I repeat it again for those who have not heard it. Just before I was saved, I was on a holiday in the island of Mauritius. Doesn't seem quite so exotic as it sounds, because it was a family trip. My family are from the island of Mauritius. And when I was there, well, there was one uncle. An uncle of mine that I had fallen out with. I had fallen out with him, well, perhaps many years before. And we had had a great disagreement and a great argument. And I refused to speak to him. And he refused to speak to me for quite a while. But when I went to Mauritius on this trip, well, everybody there was saying, you know, you ought to reconcile to your uncle. Your uncle, he knows you're here. He wants to speak to you. He wants to meet with you. He wants you to be reconciled to him. And well, I, in my foolishness and in my pride, said, oh no, I'm not going to be reconciled to him. If I'm reconciled to him, I have to apologize. I have to say sorry for the arguments and the bad things that I've said. I don't want to be reconciled to him. I don't want to go to him and grovel. No, I'm not going to be reconciled to him. And so the holiday came and went. But I always remember when I returned home, just a couple of weeks after, I remember the phone call that I received, saying, your uncle that you wouldn't reconcile with, he suddenly went into hospital last night, and he's gone. He's died. And I remember how my heart sank. I hadn't reconciled with him, and now I'll never have the chance to do so again. He was gone. He was dead. How can I now reconcile? My heart sank, all because of my foolish pride. Just because I wouldn't apologize, no chance for reconciliation ever again. Well, don't let that happen between you and God. Don't let that happen. God wants to be reconciled to you here and now. He calls you, be reconciled to me through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Don't be that person who says, I'm not going to go to God. I'm not going to grovel. I'm not going to apologize. I'm not going to confess my sin, because you know one day it'll be too late. Death may overtake you. And well, when we stand before God after our lives are over, it'll be too late then to reconcile. You've lived your whole life separate from God. It's too late when you stand before him. Dear friends, this is the message of the New Testament. Not a message that God is evil or angry, but that God wants reconciliation. Read verse 20. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Anybody separate from him Anybody who does not know him, don't count on your morality. Be ye reconciled to God, and know him and love him, and you will be reconciled forever. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious Heavenly Father, O Lord, forgive us all our sin. We thank thee that there is forgiveness with thee through Christ Jesus our Lord, if we believe in him. O Lord, if there is any here who is still separate from God, and they will know, O Lord, they will know. May they seek that way of reconciliation. May they come to thee and humble themselves and confess all their sin. Lord, we ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.